I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I want to stay in the same theme that our pastor has been leading us for the past month. He's been ministering on the living the stress-free life. And he talked about the second week, he talked about lightening up. He also talked about the third week, the joy, our secret weapon. Amen. How do we know we have joy? We usually, yeah, there we go. Somebody got it. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Something about Pastor George, he's been doing a lot of ha, ha, ha-ing lately. I mean, we started off a manager's meeting week before, and he come up and started talking immediately, ha, 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 and everyone responded. So he is definitely full of the joy of the Lord. And then the last time he was with us, he talked about a gratitude heart relieves stress. And so I want to stay within that vein because that's where I've been feeding from. That's what I've been receiving. How many of you have been receiving from him? And so, and I want to be that, I just want to just continue, but to share with you what the Lord's been showing me as he's been ministering this word. Now, this particular message that he's been teaching us is so much needed. You know, right now we are in fast forward doing so much. Matter of fact, it was prophesied by Pastor George that we would be able to accomplish in 1 year what normally took 20 years. Right. Amen. And in with that, if you're not careful, if you're not watchful, you'll get into the stress of trying to accomplish 20 years of work in 1 year. All right. But thank God we are faith people. Amen. I heard something. I think it was Pastor Mark Hankins, I think, posted. He goes, if you're living in frustration, then you're not in faith. And so, because faith in God, we have faith in him. We trust him. We trust him at his word. We don't have to be in frustration or be turning, you know, being pulled in different directions. But I wanted to stay once again in this place. And the title of this message is Come Sit With Me. And I want to look at it from the aspect of where we are. Because, you know, in the Word of God, if you all turn there, Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to get there in just a moment. When we think about as believers, are you a believer this morning? Yes. Now, as believers, you realize, you know, you might be seated in a comfortable seat right now, but that is not really where you truly sit. Matter of fact, the enemy doesn't see you sitting in that little nice cloth seat right there, you know, that man has put together. No, you're seated in a much higher place. And the significance of being seated somewhere is that when you're seated somewhere, you're no longer working. It's time to sit and rest and just bask in the blessings of the Lord. Now, last year I had the privilege of teaching the blessing, and I'm not teaching it this semester, but the truth of it really spoke to me, and this is the blessing, Brother Copeland's book, a powerful, powerful book. And so some of the things that I've actually was drawing from Pastor George was I was putting it together with what I learned and what I taught in the blessing. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, before we read verse 6 is where I wanted to go. I want us to look back at verse 1. I'm going to read out of the New King James. It says, and you he made alive. Well, right there, somebody ought to shout. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, he said, you were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. Now, as we just read that, notice, remember, it says, verse 2, in which you once walked. That's the past tense. You've done this before. But God, verse 4, but God, come on, say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come. Say that in the ages to come. Where we're living in those ages. That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Glory to God. Just that one few verses that we read to realize where we were and what the power of God has done through his son Jesus. We have been taken out of this terrible place in sin. He's washed us and cleansed us, and he's given us a new name, and he's given us a crown to wear, and he's given us a new robe. And now he not only made us stay where we were at, he's taken us and he's placed us and he's seated us right next to him. Right next to the Father is where you sit. Hallelujah. You know, yeah, I told Dr. Bailey, texted him yesterday. I said, Doc, I really sense in my spirit that after this, that we're going to have a healing service. And I just got that confirmation. There's going to be healing through the middle of this message, but we're also going to have a healing for those that just need to just get rid of that stuff out of your body in the name of Jesus. Because what we just read, we are his workmanship. God don't make no junk. Everything he does is perfect. Everything he does is clean. Everything when God puts his hand to it, it doesn't look the same as before. Amen. You know, how many of you remember John Osteen? You know, he's gone on to be with the Lord, and I love to hear that man preach. And he had always talked about the master's touch. Remember, he talked about the man who played the violin, I think it was, and there was an auctioneer, and this one violin was old and broken, it looked like, and the strings were old, and they were trying to auction it off, and nobody would buy it. And all of a sudden, this one man comes up out of nowhere and picks up this violin and dusts it off and begins to tune the strings and the chords, and all of a sudden he begins to play a beautiful melody out of that violin. And all of a sudden the auctioneer says, who'll give me, you know, $100? Who'll give me this? And that people were raising their hands because they wanted to buy that violin. What was the difference with that violin? See, before, the violin had no worth in the eyes of everyone else, but in the eyes of the master, it had much worth. You have much worth. Too much worth that God wants you to stress out. He doesn't want you to stress out. He doesn't want you to be in a place of stress. I just heard the other day, I was watching and flipping the channels the other day, and I came across this one talk show, and I only heard one statement. One statement is all I needed to hear. And the man said that anxiety is the new epidemic against its own body. Anxiety is its own epidemic. Anxiety is everywhere. Anxious, threatened. Anxiety is tearing the body. Is breaking down the body. There is people's lives who are being shortened due to anxiety. People's lives are being shortened due to worry. Well, say, I'm his workmanship. I'm made perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, don't get jumpy in your seat when you have to look at, when you start looking at the past of your life. Because remember at the beginning portion we just read, that's the way you were when you were made alive, when you were dead in trespasses and sin. That's already been done and dealt with. Amen. Don't let your past dictate your future. Now God has made us sit in where? Heavenly places. Now we need to take time and sit down and rest with the Lord. He truly wants to tell you that everything is in good shape. Have you ever put some time and thought into some things and it just got so, you know, you lost sleep over it. You worried, you lost appetite. You lost all, you know, your focus at work, and then when it come to the end of it, you realize it wasn't that big of a deal after all. I've done it many, many times. You know, I've done it too many times that I don't want to even mention, but I'm telling you, I know I'm not the only one, but sometimes we get to a place where we lose sleep. We lose, you know, the Bible tells us he gives his beloved sleep. But these anxieties and stuff kind of creep up, but God has placed us in a higher place. You know, I want to do this real quick. I want to go back to this focusing on where we sit. We sit next to the throne of grace. Okay? Grace. It's not a bad word. Grace. Grace is misunderstood. But grace is needed. We're saved by grace. You couldn't even be saved without it. You needed grace. We accept it by or through faith. Amen. So everything that God has given you has been by his wonderful grace. I jotted down some things concerning grace. This is right. This is where you sit. This is your heavenly place. The Lord is gracious. He is the giver of grace, and he is the God of all grace. His throne is a throne of grace. The prophets of old prophesied of the grace that should come unto us. This grace came by Jesus. He was full of grace, and it is from his fullness that we receive one grace after another. The grace of God was upon him. Gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. It was by his grace that we tasted of death, that he tasted of death for every man. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. Our message is called the gospel of the grace of God. It is the word of his grace can be seen and perceived. Grace brings salvation to us. It is through the grace of God that we believe. We are saved by grace. We are justified freely by his grace. We are called by grace. Into grace. It is grace that we are under. It is grace wherein we stand to live righteously. Grace establishes our hearts. Grace builds us up and gives us an inheritance. Glory to God. Grace gives us everlasting consolation and good hope. Grace helps us in the time of need. God's grace is sufficient to put us over in all of life's difficulties and causes us to reign in this life. Grace enables us to serve God acceptably and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our words can minister grace to others. We are to sing with grace in our hearts. And our words are to be seasoned with grace. Grace makes us what we are as it works in us and through us. It is the grace of God that makes us rich and meets our needs. Grace is given to every believer. Grace causes us to be enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. We are told to grow in grace, to be strong in grace, to continue in grace, and to abound in grace. The word speaks of great grace. Hallelujah. How many of you have great grace? The abundance of grace, the grace of life, the dispensation of grace, his exceeding grace, the glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, the gift of grace, the manifold grace of God, the true grace of God, and the election of grace. An individual can come short of his grace. They can receive grace in vain, fall from grace, frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God can be abused as an opportunity for immorality. An individual can do despite unto the spirit of grace. But God gives more grace to the humble and to the sincere. Grace is multiplied. Say multiplied. Unto us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and is obtained by coming boldly before his throne. Now, in all that I had to say, all that is that to tell you this, you are seated next to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. You know, I love what Pastor Greg was talking about during the offering. He said there was a time when we all done it. We've all given as an insurance policy. We've all had in time we gave because we wanted God to make sure that we wanted to make sure God loved us back. Aren't you glad we serve a better God than that? The law, let me give you some information here on the law and the grace, because this is kind of building up where you're seated. When you hear this, I want you to get it with your spirit. I want you to get it in your heart and in your mind. You're no longer having to work for something that's already been given to you by His grace. But we don't neglect faith. We take it by faith. That's the only way you can take it, is by faith. Hallelujah. The law imposed divine standards based on God's holiness for the purpose of revealing to man his sinfulness and making him aware of his need for divine assistance. But grace imparts divine life based on God's benevolence for the purpose of making man a partner of the divine nature and enabling the plan of God to be fulfilled through him. You have a plan of God on your life, and it's a plan not to be full of stress. It's a plan to be prosperous and abundance and joy and peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. The law prohibits us from coming to God, but grace bids us to come as we are. The law prohibits us from coming to God, once again, but the grace bids us to come as we are, because the law condemns the sinner, but grace redeems the sinner. The law slays with a curse, but the grace quickens with a blessing. The law shuts every mouth, but grace opens every mouth in praise to God. I love that song the KCBC worship singers were singing. That word, he said, my melody is what? Is a weapon. My melody is a weapon. The song from my heart. The law says do this or die, but grace says it is done. Now live. You didn't hear that. I'll say it again for your benefit. I said the law says do this or die, but grace says it is done. Now live. The law says try to do your best, but grace says trust and rest. I sense it now. I'm about to start taking off running here. The law condemns the best man, but grace justifies the worst man. The law says pay up what you owe, but grace says it is paid in full. Law provides a basis for the imputation of sin, but grace provides a basis for the impartation of righteousness. The law says the wages of sin is death, but grace says the gift of God is eternal life. The law says that the soul that sin shall die, but grace says believe and only and live. Believe only and live. The law says reveals man's sin, but grace reveals God's love. The law grants us the knowledge of sin, but grace grants us the knowledge of redemption. The law demands obedience, but grace gives us the power to obey. Did you hear that? You've been given a power to obey the word of God. The law, listen to this, was written on stone, but grace was written on the heart. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, I read that and I got so excited. I mean, I wanted to jump up and shout last night at 12:30 in the morning. But I would have woken up my entire family and my wife wouldn't have liked that. No, God has made us sit together in heavenly places. We're seated next to that throne of grace. Glory to God. Take time to sit down and rest with the Lord for a moment. He wants to tell you everything's in good shape. Sit down. That is what God has instructed us as born again believers to do, because that invitation enables us to triumph over every test and every trial the devil may try to send your way. But let me tell you this, no one can sit in the presence of the Almighty God except his own family. That's why it's important to be a believer, to be a son of God. You're a son. You know, stand up, Alex. This is my son. He turned 14 just the other day. And you look at him and there is no doubt that's my boy. Some of you have seen him, and he's 14 and 6 foot tall and size 14 shoe. All right. But I can tell you something, his heart for loving the Lord and serving this in this ministry is much greater than the stature you see right there. That is a young man growing to be a man of God. Amen. Amen. Love you, boy. My boy, he don't have to ask if he can sit down at my table. He's my son. He can partake of anything that's in the refrigerator, and normally that's exactly what happens. Put fruit in there, and it's gone by the next day. One day we bought a thing of those. What's those little oranges thing? What are they called? Huh? Cuties. What's a cutie anyway? It's an orange. Anyway, we sat down and my wife bought two bags of them, I guess it was. You know, I don't know how many come in, about 15 or 20 of them in there. And he sat down at the table. What was that? Oh, there were full-size oranges. Okay. Well, next to his hand, it looked like a cutie. So he came down and sat down. We're watching a movie and he had a bowl. And he had all, I thought he brought fruit for everybody. When Alyssa tried to grab one, he said, go get your own. I'm telling you the truth. This boy finishes fruit. That's probably why as big as he is, right? But he don't have to ask. You know, this boy goes through a gallon of milk a day. He's been doing that since he was a baby. Doc Irby tells me it's about time you need to invest in your own cow. So, amen. We went out to eat one time. I told him we're going to go out to eat with you, Dr. Bailey. we went out to treated to go eat at a steak place downtown somewhere. And he wanted the people that were treating us said, you know, get whatever you want. And my son looked over at me because I had already told him ahead of time, you get the chicken, you know, get something. You know. So this was an expensive place. You know, I didn't want to put shock into the people who were blessing us, right? So I told him, I said, well, get the chicken. Then finally, I guess he heard the gentleman who was feeding or treating us, he said, all of you get steak. All of you get whatever you want. So he looked over at me and I said, go ahead. All right. So he got this big steak. Before I was even a quarter of the way done with mine, he had finished his. He looked over at mine. I got about a half of it left. And it was a good size, you know, maybe about a, 14 ounce, 16 ounce, whatever. And he finished half of mine. And then he finished the other about 3/4 of Alyssa's steak too. The boy can eat. You know, Brother Copeland hasn't seen him yet. And he told me, he said, we've been here 4 years. And Alex says, Brother Copeland has seen my sisters. He goes, but I've never got to meet him yet. So we're trying to take care of that. And I thought, he's definitely going to think that this is a son of Goliath. Remember, he asked me if I was kin to Goliath or something. You know, 14 years old. But what I wanted to say is my son, I love my son. I love my daughters. They have access to come and they can partake anything that I have.
Yes.
You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Partake. I said partake. Partake of his goodness. Partake of healing. Partake of prosperity. We're family after all. Let me tell you, angels don't even get to sit down in the presence of the Father. Angels don't get to sit down. When have you ever seen an angel sitting down or heard of an angel sitting down? You don't. Because they're ready to serve. They're ready to carry out the command. And you have angels at your disposal waiting for you to carry out the command you send them to go do. There should have been a whole lot more people really grabbing a hold of that. You have angels waiting for you to send them forth.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Because you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes. Some of you need to quit crying about those prodigal children that have gone their own way. No, start sending your angels out there to go minister to them and put people on their path to go and bring them back to their senses.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
got me a little bit of Pastor Greg in me too. Come on now. Glory to God. Some of you sit around and whine and complain about lack of money. Why don't you send your ministry and spirits to go out there and bring it from the north, the south, the east, and the west? Where are you sitting? We're told to sit down with him in his presence and enter his rest. In fact, he's grieved when we don't do it. You know, I love my children, but they can grieve dad sometimes when they don't carry out my expectation. How many parents, you understand what I'm talking about? I don't love them any less, do I? You don't love your children any less, but you can be grieved. They still have access to the table. They can at any time get it corrected and partake. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, say today.
Today.
If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Notice, in their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, we are blessed. But we need to understand, we need to rest in the fact and step into the land of victory that he has promised us. Now, what would keep you from entering in the land of victory? A hardened heart. A hardened heart. That is what grieves the Father. That is what grieves the Holy Spirit. When you harden your heart to what he's wanting to do in your life. You know, many of us have done that. None of us is a stranger for missing it. But aren't you glad for the grace that has picked us up again? We're blessed. Say, we're blessed. Glory to God. We need to put faith in God's word. And listen to this. We need to put faith in God's word rather than in experiences and lay hold of his promises. What does that mean? Unbelief in his word can stop us from entering in that promised land. All right, now don't put your faith in the experience. Put your faith in the word. People are trying to build their faith by watching others and say, well, I want what they got. And that's, you should want it, but they didn't get it because they were pretty. They got what they got because they put their faith in the word that works. They didn't try to, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever seen somebody that just gets blessed and blessed and blessed and you see them, man, they're not putting half the time into the reading of the Bible like I do and praying like I do. I mean, I know the way they are. That's right. Because you're still trying to obtain it by works. Well, they've obtained it because of where they're seated. Well, don't get mad. Get glad. Hallelujah. We were driving in today and I said, you know what? This is the day, Lord, that you've made. And I choose this day to be glad, not sad. And I choose to rejoice. Ha, 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 ha. I choose to let go of the stress. Hallelujah. Don't base it on experiences. Experiences, yeah, they're great and they're testimonies. But it's a testimony of what God has done and what he is willing to do is found in his word. Amen? Amen. No, let's sit down. The word always works. The word's got you covered. Didn't you understand that? Yes. You know, you're covered by the word. Yes. Believe God and enter his rest. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this here. We're going to read 1 through 12 here. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Not mixed with what?
Faith.
Not mixed with what?
Faith.
Come on now. Not mixed with?
Faith.
In those who heard it. So in other words, they heard the gospel, but it didn't work for some of these because they didn't mix it with faith. For we have believed, do enter that, what?
Rest.
As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. You mean the thing that I'm believing for, the thing that I've been trusting for, the thing I've been trying to get all this time has already been settled since before the foundation of the world? That new King Ranch truck you're looking at, it's already been taken care of from before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. It was taken care of before the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in certain places on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, what? Do not harden your hearts. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Oh, hallelujah. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore, see, that's the grace. That's the grace. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God wants us to cease from our own works. And to continue doing the works is simply a reflection of a hardened heart. See, right now, some of us, that stony heart's being chipped away. Some of you might feel a little, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if it, you're the one that needs to hear it. Because you're the one that's been having the problems all this time. You get angry when somebody else get blessed. You get angry and snooty when somebody else, you're seeing them coming out of debt and someone else paying off their house and someone else. It really astounds me when I see so much criticism against this ministry. It really amazes me. Can I say it this way? Of the stupidity that's out there that think that Brother Copeland just did something that he took it. No, he took what God had to offer him. He just got in line. His heart and Miss Gloria's heart was pliable and moldable to do whatever God told him to do. I loved Miss Gloria's books. What did she say? She said, whatever we saw in the Bible, I told Ken, we're doing that. That simple. Simple faith, Doc. Simple. It was the simplest. I'm just going to do what the Word of God says. And look at where we're at now. And look at what they're doing. Just from that simplicity of saying, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm seated. I know whose I am. And I'm taking all that he has for me. I love Brother Copeland said, I'll take all he has to offer. Glory to God. He wants us to get up there right next to Jesus. God wants us to sit down and trust the blessing that is going to take care of us. We can rest because God's word covers every situation you could ever see, ever face, or anything that could ever be revealed to you. The word of God's already got it covered. You realize that the payment, that the paying off of your house is in the word? Where is it, Pastor? Where is it? Those who seek me, the word says, shall. Don't. People are too much into the what you call it, those paraphrase little. Pastor John, what was it you used to cheat with those in high school? Cliff notes. I'm just picking on Pastor John. He didn't cheat. No. Cliff notes. Not moi. No. You think about those cliff notes. Don't settle for the Cliff Notes version of the gospel. That's, don't settle for the Cliff Notes version of the Bible. God didn't give us the Cliff Note version of salvation. But yet we want the Cliff Note version for prosperity, for healing, for a good marriage. Just tell me what I need to know, Pastor. Just tell me what I need to know. I'll figure out the rest. I'll do the rest right now. Yeah, let's see how far you've gotten already. Then you have a meeting with Pastor John, Dr. Irby, Dr. Bailey, myself, Pastor Quest, Pastor Kent, Pastor Bobby. I mean, Pastor Bobby gets them all, you know. Too many people settling for the Cliff Notes. Do you realize you're seated on a throne, not a fold-out chair? I'm sensing it. I'm sensing it. So many people want to just pull out a chair. No. You've been, a chair has been made out for you. Whew. My goodness. Sit down. God's wisdom is on the way. When we don't know what to do, we should follow the instructions found in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 6 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience." Oh, nobody likes that word, patience. Yes. But you have to understand what patience is. It's not what you think it is. Patience is just simply saying the same thing over and over and over, what the Word of God says. Staying connected, not disconnecting from your faith. He said, verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Now let me read verse 5 out of the Passion. Listen to this in the Passion. Verse 5, "And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace."
Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Think about where you're seated.
Yes.
All of us have been working and working. I'm working. Whatever song, whatever that was, you know, I'm always working for the kingdom. No. Rest. Rest. God doesn't have a chain gang. God has a family. I don't know. These gloryisms keep coming up out of me. I don't know why. It's that anointing. You tap into it. What do I say a chain gang? You know what a chain gang is? They start singing a song to keep up the rhythm and wobble up. Huh? There you go. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's the sound of... Yeah, y'all know it, don't you? Bunch of sinners. No, I'm just kidding. No, you think about... God doesn't have a chain gang. Say, I'm family. Choose to rest.
I choose to rest.
Because the work's already been done for you.
Yeah.
No, we can count it all joy and sit down in God's rest, believing his wisdom is already on the way. Stop your human reasoning and just start asking God for his wisdom. Let me tell you, he will always tell you if you are in faith. And then if you're not, he'll show you what the next step you need to do. Glory to God. Rest in faith, but stick with it. Stay steady, and he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. This holy, you have the help of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, showing you all things. Remember, God is responsible for our daily welfare. He's responsible. If he's responsible for your daily welfare, why are you so consumed with it? We need to open up our ears and just listen to him for a moment. We need to listen to God in faith. Believe what Jesus said is true. Pray in the Spirit, because we don't know what to pray in every situation, but we can tap into the power of the Holy Ghost and he will give us understanding. You have what I like to call inside information. All right? Now, you can't use that kind of information in the stock market. It'll get you in jail. Inside information. But see, you are tapped in not to the stock market. You're tapped in to the very kingdom of God. And some of the things that the enemy's been trying to keep from you, pray in the Holy Ghost and he'll show you a way how to get it. No, sit down. Sit down and shed the cares. Shed the cares. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Shedding the cares. Oh, that's a big one. I read something in here the other day and I thought, this is okay, Lord. I get it. He says here in chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look at that verse 1 again. Let us lay aside. This is something that is in your power. God won't do it for you. He didn't give you the weight to begin with. He didn't give you the baggage. You picked it up on your own. You got it. You picked it up. You wanted to carry it. I was so inspired. I saw a testimony of my friend over there, Caleb Mayer, and he was sharing the testimony of his dad. And I saw it, and it blessed me so much. But he was talking about how his dad had suffered, I guess, a heart attack or a stroke. And Caleb was inquiring of the Lord, said, why? You know, he's a believer. He loves the Lord. I mean, he said, man, he loves the Lord so much. And he was angry. He was trying to figure this out, trying to wonder what's going on. And the Lord began to start showing him that his dad was carrying this bag of rocks. And he said, this is the way the Lord showed it to him. He said, but he saw his dad walking along his way and he see this stone. And he picked up the stone and he put it on a rock and in a bag and he kept walking. He looked down to see another stone. He picked it up, put it in his bag. He kept walking. And then before you knew it, the stones kept getting bigger and some were different sizes. But here he is carrying that bag. And before I know, he said his whole body was now trying to carry the weight of what he was picking up. And he said all that was the cares of life, the cares of family, the cares of responsibility of work, his business, and all that was trying. He was trying to carry it all for his family and be the provider and be the supplier and be all. He was trying to be God when God didn't call him to be God. And he said, the Lord told Caleb, and says, I never told your dad to do that. Did I get it? Am I getting it somewhere in there? He says, and he had to let it go. But then Caleb said, I saw myself doing the same thing. Picking up this and picking up that. No, there's some things you just need to let it lie. There's some problems you just need to let it lie. All right? You weren't told to pick it up. Well, don't go trying to pick something up that you weren't told to take the care of. No, I say that the words already got it covered. It's within your power. If you're going to rest, then it's up to you to let go of the stress. It's up to you to let go of the baggage. It's up to you to let go of the past. It's up to you to let go of the sin. God's already taken care of the sin problem. You're still trying to carry the penalty of it to this day. Let it go. Let it go. Turn to your neighbor and say, let it go. It's killing you. Shed the cares. When situations take a while to be resolved, it's not time to start wringing your hands and start wondering, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? No, no, no. Don't become anxious and abandon the rest that you have in God. Jesus gave us his own peace and he expects us to use it. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He then says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We should not ever be troubled or afraid. Force yourself to meditate on the truth of God's word. What do you mean, force myself? Well, let's look at a scripture in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. Yeah. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 says this. See, what you're trying to do is you're trying to allow your thought take precedent. But let's look at this. God's word says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return thither or to return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word, says the Lord, that'll go forth from my mouth. It will not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. See, the word's already got you covered. Rest. Start forcing yourself to talk more like God and quit talking like your old self. Quit talking like an unbeliever. When I don't know what I don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know the rent's coming up, the mortgage, tuition's coming up. You're talking like an unbeliever. You forgot where you're seated. You're going back to the work and not entering the rest. Oh my goodness. We don't base our feelings on anything else but the word of God. Notify the devil that he cannot come and disturb you any longer. Let the peace of God do its work. When actually, you know what we do when we allow ourselves to worry about things, we actually put ourselves in opposition with God. God is going this way, but you're doing it this way. You're telling God your way is better. Amen. What it tells us is that we're in pride when we're trying to be our own source and acting like everything depends on us. We have to make a decision to change our attitude and clothe ourselves with humility. We need to cast our cares over unto the Lord. That's a decision you make. I prayed with somebody recently. I said, you need to cast that over to the Lord. And her response back was, I can't. I can't. Why not? I just can't do that. I've carried it for so long, I just can't. You know, that now it's worked its way in. It's deeper than what it is, what it could have been. I mean, it could have just rolled it over to the Lord. But by her confession of saying, I can't, was just her working against what God was trying to do. No, once you roll it over to the Lord, stay firm to that decision. Don't let go. Don't take it back. Well, you want to take back garbage back in the first place. I mean, when I take out garbage every Monday morning or Monday evening, I leave it there for the garbage man to pick it up. There's nothing in the bag that I want to bring back into my house. Some of you just need to start clearing out some of that junk, that garbage that's been in there for so long. Get rid of it. It stinks. It stinks. Remember, Jesus, when we cast our cares into Jesus, he receives them because he is our caretaker. He takes all the cares of this world. The cares of this world, if you'll allow it, will choke even your faith. It'll choke out your faith. Remember, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please. We're going to receive from the Lord. We want to please Him. We want to act in faith. We want to trust Him. We want to express to Him our gratitude and know that, let Him know we trust You at Your word. Amen. Don't keep this unrest. Don't keep this thing in your life that how do I put it, Lord? Don't keep that which is making you sick. Now, remember I said we're going to do a healing service or a healing. Those of you going to need healing. Matt, right now, you need to first unload that stuff that's poisoning your soul. Beloved, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your prosperity and your healing is dependent on how prosperous your soul is. Right now, I've been chipping away and working on your heart. And I've been working on your mind, because this is a mind settling thing. You have to get that straightened out in your head. This isn't God's best. I want what God's best is for me. I want to take what He has for me, and I want to live a life that is glorifying to Him.
Yes.
Amen. I want to roll the cares and the sins of this world away. I don't want to continue in this anymore. No, we are called to sit down. Amen. We are called to sit down, and not only just sit down, but we continue to proclaim the word of God. We continue to proclaim over and over what God is willing and what He's wanting to do. Amen.
Yes.
Speak the word.
Yes.
Don't speak your opinions over the situation. Speak the word. And then trust this. Well, you can truly sit down when you realize who your high priest is. Who is your high priest? Jesus. Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiations for the sins of the people. He knows what you have gone through. He's been there. He's been touched by those. We have a high priest who is up in heaven, who doesn't know what you're going through. No, He knows. And even then, Jesus completely washed us from every sin. He's already made it available for you to be completely and totally cleansed. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Bailey to come up here.